Welcome to the Fearless Women Podcast. We're inspiring conversations for the unafraid. I'm Janice McDonald, founder of the Beacon Agency, author, and global champion for women. Why am I making this show? Because I want to share the inspiring stories of women leaders in business, arts and culture, politics, and more with all of you. Hear how they've chosen to go forward and be bold and make the world a better place, even when it wasn't easy to do. Subscribe now wherever you find podcasts. Very excited to welcome Fran Gagnon. She's the CEO of ADGA, a company that offers world-class technology in defense, security, and enterprise computing. And she's going to tell us everything about what that actually is. I also know Fran as a champion of women's leadership in Canada, and I'm really delighted to have you here on the Fearless Women Podcast.
Thank you, Janice. I'm happy to be here. Look forward to talking to you about our initiatives regarding women and about ADGA.
Wonderful. So fearless, by definition, is not afraid, or at least being bold, finding your courage. What's the last thing you've done that's really scared you, Fran?
In terms of big, bold steps, coming into ADGA in 2014 was a big, bold step. Nothing in my career seemed to point towards that direction. The industry that I was going into was relatively unknown to me. I was 50, and I was thinking about how to phase out my career, not how to dive into the deep end of a whole new industry and start over. So I would say that was the last thing that I did, hit the ground running at ADGA in 2014.
And never look back.
Never look back.
Very bold decision. All right. So, Fran, you're the CEO of ADGA. It's, as I've introduced, a world-class technology company in defense, security, and enterprise computing. What does that actually mean?
So, first off, we're a people company. So, we're in the domains of defense, security, and enterprise computing. We don't actually make stuff.
Okay.
We sell expertise. So, we have individuals who have tremendous niche expertise work with our primary client, which is the Department of National Defense.
Okay.
We have space engineers that do wonderful things like work with astronauts to teach them how to perform surgery in deep space exploration.
Wow.
Yes. We have a lot of work on the security side that, you know, it's the beauty of security. Usually you can't talk about it. But
you're keeping us safe is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
We're keeping us safe. We're privileged to carry out a lot of work for the armed forces. We do a lot of work with Correctional Services Canada, make sure that the bad guys stay in. And we do the security perimeter on all federal institutions across the country. On the enterprise computing side, we do a lot of cyber work for shared services. We have an office in Toronto, so we do a lot of the same kind of work that you would see done by IBMs and PwCs and, you know, business architects and business analysts. But yeah, that's what, but at the end of the day, we're a people company.
Sounds like the kind of stuff we see on TV, and here you are, you're leading all of it.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting. As I said, it's a privilege to be in this position, and we just finished a series of town halls where we sort of did round robins on some of our capabilities. And there's never a time that I sit through those that I don't just sit there with my jaw dropping, because what we do is just so fascinating, whether it's in a domain of ballistics and munitions, in the domain of modeling and simulation, to teach folks in a virtual environment how to drive light armored vehicles, gunnery systems, helicopter training.
When you say it, I just think video games.
And essentially, you know what? Essentially, that's what it is. There's a lot of our folks, particularly in the modeling and simulation division, that are gamers, and they've taken programs, they're software developers, and they've shaped them into something that saves the Canadian Army probably tens of millions of dollars each year, because you don't actually have to train on real vehicles. You can do it. You can network in different members that will go into the lav. You can do this at different bases across the country. You could even, and you can simulate the environments so that rather than going into theater and having only learned this on a base, you can simulate all those environments. It's really quite fascinating.
That's so amazing. I had no idea
the expansiveness of everything that your company is doing.
Yeah.
And well, thank you for all of your efforts to keep us safe. And sounds like innovation is also at the core of everything you do.
Absolutely. And that's where I go back all the time to say we are a people company, because the expertise, the talent resides within some very, very large brains that work for us, who are tremendous, and that client relies on to find the next solution, because these things are always evolving and changing, particularly when you're looking at cybersecurity, right?
So it's a company of big brains led by a big brain CEO.
Well, I don't know that I would say that so much, but it's definitely a company of big brains, yes, with a very fortunate CEO that has the privilege of leading them, yes.
So you have a chance to really make this, you know, bold contribution in an exciting industry. Do you have a certain strategy, or do you turn to others? How do you, Fran, go about making this decision to say, yes, I'm going to accept this challenge?
So I never make a decision on my own. Mm-hmm. I went into this business with my husband. So needless to say, he was consulted, and we talked about this at great length. We also thought about the impact that it would have on our life together as a couple, mm-hmm. never having worked together. All of a sudden, we're going to be across the hall from each other.
Yeah, that's a big change.
It is a big change. Yeah. It ended up being one of the greatest assets in this job, in fact, but we didn't know that at the onset.
Having that trusted resource, like, across the hall.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Somebody that's
yes.
always got your back. Mm-hmm. So it was a consultative process, and there was a fear of the unknown, but if you look at some of the major milestones in your life, and I've been giving this some thought in the last couple of years. I mean, if you look at having a child and making that decision to have a child, you don't have the experience for that. It's a bold new step. You don't really know what you're going into, but the opportunity and the potential is massive. So yeah, every now and again, you take the step over the edge.
You jump.
You jump.
You just go for it.
Exactly.
Now, is there a phrase or some kind of a mantra that you use to inspire you or give you that extra bit of courage to say yes?
I don't know that I have a mantra per se. Mm-hmm. I would I don't get bogged down and let stuff occupy too much real estate in my brain. So I always think of it in terms of chunks that you can take on.
Okay.
And so,
what do you mean?
So you're looking at the bigger goal, obviously, of where it is that you want to get, but don't get too caught up in where you want to get. What can I do today? What can I accomplish today? How can I move that yardstick forward? Mm-hmm. There's a lot that needs to be done. What's measurable that I can actually take on and get to the end of that and say, okay, today I made a difference and I pushed the needle ahead.
Yeah. Baby steps.
Baby steps
in
one day
direction.
At a time.
I was at a conference a few years ago in San Francisco and heard from the woman who started TaskRabbit. And she had this nice little phrase that she used in order to really be strategic about her business. And she would ask herself this question every day. What can I do in the next 24 hours to move my company forward? Mm-hmm. And I thought, what a great approach, because mm-hmm. it puts strategy right at the top. And doesn't overwhelm you with the 100 things you need to do. It actually really moves the top thing forward.
Absolutely.
On a daily basis, which I think is what you're exactly talking about.
Yeah, taking it on in sort of strides that are achievable, mm-hmm. as opposed to looking at the big picture and where do I want to be in 5 years? No. What do I need to do this week?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're the CEO of ADGA Group, and you've been that since 2014. So you're the only woman in this role in Canada. What does this mean to you, and why is it important, not only for Canada and for women, but just in general? Why does this matter?
Well, it does matter because I shouldn't be the only woman. Throughout my career, I've always benefited from having great role models who are women and a great network of women, and mm-hmm. to all of a sudden go into an industry where you're literally the only woman at the table, not just within my company, but at industry boards. It was really unsettling for me, and it was just surreal, mm-hmm. Like literally looking over your shoulder going, did I come into the wrong door? Where are the women in this room?
Right.
They're not there. And so pretty early on, I think I made it my mission to not be the only woman and to actually make it such that I put in place the foundation or the professional development plan to bring more women into this industry. And it's like anything else. You can't be what you can't see. So
absolutely,
I'm here. I'm making it my mission to be seen and to be heard.
So 700 employees, how many in general would be women right now? And do you have targets of where you want that to be? And how are you kind of approaching it? Because this is a big opportunity when you know that you want change.
Yeah. And I think when, you know, so we can get into a bit of when you just look at statistics and where you're at, to me, that's not so much the important part. It's more the where are the women?
Uh-huh.
Because you could easily say, well, we're 30% women or 40% women. But are those women actually in operational roles? Mm-hmm. Are they in visible roles? Are they in the executive ranks? That's the meat of the matter to me. Mm-hmm. And that's what we are working on.
And you're really focused on ensuring those career paths too.
Right? Absolutely.
Like to be able to say, you're here and we're going to
help
you
get
you
there. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, that's exciting. And so any quick wins?
Actually, we have. So if I look at the executive management committee, we're at 2 women out of 5.
Wow.
If I look at our strategic advisory council, we're at 2 women out of 7. And, you know, more exciting is we've got a lot of women in the junior ranks of this company that are quickly ascending and that see a career path for themselves. That's what I find exciting.
That's super exciting because that's real change.
Yeah. And that's your pipeline for the future.
Absolutely. Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. So why else does it matter to have you as the CEO in this industry as a woman?
Do you know what? When you look at this industry, and it's a $6 billion industry, defense and security, if you look at the future of everything, not just defense, but if you look at security, it permeates everything that we do today. Mm-hmm. And we always hear about how there are not enough women in STEM. These are well-paying roles. They're exciting jobs. They're innovative jobs. You need to have women at the table. So I was just reading a study yesterday that was talking about how we face a real dearth of women in a civil aviation industry. And if you think about designing a cockpit on a plane, if the only engineers around a table designing that cockpit are designing for what is familiar to them, which is men, from the very onset, you're establishing a barrier for women.
Mm-hmm.
So you need that extra element, that extra
perspective.
The contributions that women make at the table that are completely different from men.
Well, I think about cars aren't designed for a spot for your purse.
Right
beside you.
So true.
You know, they're work if nobody's sitting beside you in the seat.
Yes. Or then you throw it in the back and everything falls out. Yes.
Exactly. So important. So if you were making a pitch to women listening about why they need to consider not only working for your company, but to join the industry, what would it be?
It's a growth industry. It's a growth industry that's got many, many opportunities for promotion. Like I said, they're well-paying jobs. They're white-collar jobs. It's an industry where a lot of the work, quite frankly, can be done remotely. Technology.
Right. So family-friendly in that sense.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's the way of the future.
What's the website?
ADGA.ca.
Pretty easy.
Yeah.
Right?
ADGA. Yeah.
And there's loads of jobs listed there?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, this is exciting. So also what I think is pretty special is you've been the direct beneficiary of many women champions in your career. I saw something on LinkedIn where you celebrated some of the women on International Women's Day who have been instrumental in your success, or at least, you know, had a significant role. So how did that happen? So, and take us back to some of those, times in your career where you were lucky enough to have these women champions.
Yeah, so it sort of actually borrows a bit on your previous question. So I took 10 years off in my career to stay home and raise kids. And when I went back into the workforce, my CV had a 10-year gap in there. And I, you know, my brain did not go on hiatus for 10 years. I worked very hard as a stay-at-home mom.
Yes.
But that was not obvious to somebody reading my CV and not looking beyond that. I had the very good fortune of coming across Janet Yale, I'll name her, mm-hmm. who was at TELUS. And TELUS was just starting to build up their footprint here in Ottawa. And I was working in a non-for-profit. And I worked closely with her because she had a volunteer role within that organization. And she basically took me aside one day and said, "Why are you doing this? You should be doing something else." Well, if you're a stay-at-home mom and you go into the workforce, chances are you're going into the non-for-profit sector.
Right. And not every company is looking widely.
Exactly.
Right? In the same way that you are at AdGo or a Shopify might, et cetera.
Absolutely. And it was a different job market back then as well, right? With much higher unemployment rates. And so anyhow, she took a chance on me, clearly saw something, put me into a role that never would I have qualified. And I thought, you know, I had that moment of, oh boy, you're giving me the portfolio for all of Eastern Canada for public affairs and government relations. Sure, I can do this. But she had the absolute confidence in me. And I think she was the first person to tell me on a regular basis, you're really good at what you do. Which the first few times she said that to me, I didn't even know what to say. I just kind of stared at her awkwardly. Thank you.
And you mustered a thank you.
I think I mustered a thank you. Or right. I just stared at her. I don't know. Why are you saying this? Please let the elevator stop now. I worked my buns off, but I got the job done. And she was a tremendous champion of mine, but she also held me accountable. And if you dropped the ball, you knew it. She was hands down my best boss. But, you know, I think part of the story is also along the way, you're going to have bosses that aren't great. I've learned as much from those. You sort of look at that and say, okay, when I'm in a management position one day, here's what I don't want to do.
Right.
And so from Janet and others that I've come across, Penny Collinet, who've opened up doors for me that I wasn't afraid to walk through that door and pursue it. They had the confidence in me and it gave me the confidence I needed to go forward.
Did something change in you and in how you perceived your own abilities when you were having somebody recognize your skills regularly?
Absolutely. Because I think as women, we don't accept compliments well. So when somebody says to you, you've done a great job, you will automatically defer to, oh, well, I had a lot of people doing it with me.
Right. The team,
which I still do. And I think it's the right thing to do. And I do believe in it.
Yeah.
But there's also, you need to own the fact that, you led that team and you pushed through and you held on to the deliverables and you made it happen. I think you do a few of those exercises and a few of those projects and you kind of look back and go, okay, I did that. I can do this.
And do you find that that's shaped how you are as a leader, these experiences? So I know you said you're clear on what you don't do, but are you thinking about praise regularly now, knowing how much it transformed your feelings about work? And
absolutely. And I think that's such a key point to retention of employees, right? I think employees, it always doesn't come down to the bottom line. It's how you recognize them. It's how you make them feel. And I think we've got a on-the-spot award that we do at work that we really celebrate. And it's just for those who have gone above and beyond. It doesn't go to senior roles. It usually goes to some of our admin staff and whatnot, but it recognizes their efforts. And something else that we did this year that I thought was really innovative, if you go into accounting firms or if you go into law firms, inevitably the walls are lined with all the men who've been in those organizations for a long time, the founding fathers, as it were. Mm-hmm. We had a longtime employee. She was with us about 30 years who retired, and we named our boardroom after her.
Oh, wow.
And we put her picture up and her whole story because she was as fundamental to the success of this company as anybody else who was in a founding role. She was, the stability. She was the corporate memory. So, yeah, I think that sent a message to the team as well that, we value everybody at every level.
And we need them all.
Absolutely.
Right? At their best. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So what about the 10-year-old Fran? What was that girl like? And what were you called? Did you go by your full name?
I grew up in a very French family, so I was Françoise. Mm-hmm. And very, very shy.
Shy.
Painfully shy. Still an introvert at heart. But
mask it.
I mask it, yeah. But my happy space is usually cocooning by myself. Painfully shy. And, looking back on it, no gender barriers. I grew up in the country. So there were no ballet classes. There was none of that. You played with the kids who were in your neighborhood. I grew up next to a farm. So
running there was around outside.
And, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I ever really wore a dress. Right. You know, you were in dungarees and rubber boots playing in ditches with the boys. So, yeah.
You never had that sense of, I can't do this because I'm a girl?
No, at all.
So gender wasn't a thing?
Gender wasn't a thing. It became a thing later on in my career.
And how has being an introvert impacted your career, if at all?
You know what? I think it's like anything else. It's a skill that you teach yourself. My comfortable spot is not in front of the audience speaking. And I've learned at it, though. But it's a learned skill.
Okay.
And I've learned to do it. But this role that I've got, particular now, calls for me to be external, calls mm-hmm. for me to be present at many boards and speak up. It's been an acquired skill for sure.
Well, what about this reality that you're a trailblazer here in Canada? How does that label sit with you?
I mean, if you think of a trailblazer as being somebody that opens up avenues for others, then I go back to the Janice and the Pennies who were trailblazers. I go back to Shirley Westindy, who yeah. was a woman in a, you know, head of a construction company. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine what that was like. Mm-hmm. And I don't get too caught up on a title. I think more about what it is that I can do in my position now to open up those avenues and to elevate other women so mm-hmm. that they can blaze their own trails.
Yeah. I love this right here in your bio on your big company. It says, she also learned to prioritize, multitask, budget, negotiate, and problem solve as a mother of three. So I love this, and it's true. But it's also unusual to acknowledge that gap in your, you know, the traditional sense of like, oh, you can... Your career is step, 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 step. You have this 10-year pause as a mother, and yet you're acknowledging that there's a lot of important things happening. You know, you're running a household. But there it is. I was surprised to see that in your bio.
So were others.
Okay.
And I think I raised a few eyebrows when I put that in there.
But it's clearly important to you. So, and why is it important for you too?
Well, it's important to me because when I came back into the workforce, I also took on that, It's a disadvantage. There's 10 years that I cannot account for that will now penalize me as I move forward in my career. Got it. There's that almost that patronizing. It was a very noble thing for you to do to stay at home and raise your kids. Well, thank you very much. Now, don't penalize me by not
labeling
allowing
me somehow.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, my gosh. You know, so many of those skills that you learn as a parent, whether it's working under extreme conditions of duress with kids that are up all night.
Sick, no sleep.
No sleep. No job will ever require to work under less sleep than that of being a parent. The negotiation skills, the multitasking skills, the budgeting skills, those are all real skills that you use mm-hmm. every day in your job. But if I don't acknowledge that, I'm doing a disservice to all those women who've also stayed at home, or maybe they haven't stayed at home, but this is what they do. I realize that at my age now, when my workday is done and I go home, my only thought is, what am I having for dinner? How many hours am I going to log on for tonight? I'm not having to deal with kids who are sick or need to, you know, run out and buy new shoes for and whatnot.
Or help with homework.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I saw a real opportunity there to own that because you know what? People are going to ask you to put your community work on your CV and they're going to attach a value to that because you might sit on the board of, mm-hmm. you know, PTA or what have you. Mm-hmm. So why are we not acknowledging the value that we bring to the table, the things and the real skills that we have learned as mothers? It's a full-time job. We're essentially doing two full-time jobs.
Agree. I loved it. I thought, wow, I haven't seen this before. This is important and needs to be celebrated. So thank you for taking that leadership. It's really incredible. What about, I know you said when you go home, you're deciding how much work you're going to do, but what about reading? What are you reading right now? Do you have time to read anything for fun or is it all work, work, work?
No, I usually read when I'm off on holidays, to be honest. By the time I come back home, I should probably read more than I do. Last book I read was Educated by Tara Westover. I tend to read biographies, autobiographies, and usually strong women.
Yes.
There's a theme there. And I'm inspired by people because, you know, sometimes you can get caught up in your own world and your own lane and everything seems a little overwhelming. And then you read a story, a true story about somebody who grew up in Idaho in a fundamentalist Mormon family who did not have the privilege of education, somehow rose above it, went on to, I don't know if it was Cambridge or Oxford. And, you know, you want to talk about trailblazers. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love reading biographies, too. I find it to see the trials and tribulations and how somebody overcame those and just the decisions they've made is, yeah, I find a lot of inspiration out of that, too.
Yeah, so do I.
So what about competitive sports? Was that something, I know you talked about just being out and playing, and was that something that was part of your life?
No, I think I'm the outlier on that one, because if you look at a lot of female leaders, typically they played competitive sports. Because I grew up in the country, we didn't have access to
that. You didn't need to compete.
I didn't need to compete.
You were running around and playing.
You were having your own competitions of who could climb highest on the tree without falling and breaking their leg, but that was about
it. Not formal competitive sports then. Competing every day,
yeah.
But in self-designed games.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. So you continue to be an advocate of women leaders in your company, and you're really committed to seeing them soar. What drives you so much to do it?
I think it's a combination of two things. It's a sense of duty, if I can use that word. It's a big word, but I do feel a responsibility to do so. We've spoken about the fact that I've had female champions. You know, I think everything in life happens for a reason, and I'm here in this job today. I'm in an incredibly privileged position. So how do I take that and transform that into something positive for others? And it truly is a passion of mine. I love seeing people push themselves and grow into roles that they didn't. So I've done that with quite a few women who have worked for me through the years. And I love sort of touching base and connecting back with them and seeing what they've done. And frankly, you know, I look forward to the time that somebody is in my role and walks into a conference and is not the odd
alone.
Man. Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, I literally was, I joined a board, I will just say, in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And when I was speaking to one of the board members after I was elected to that board, he mentioned the fact that he was supportive of my nomination. And I said, so what was it about my CV, knowing that I didn't fit the mold? Mm-hmm. What was it about my CV that resonated with you? And there was a long, pregnant pause. And he actually said, bless him, well, I guess it was time we had a woman on board. And I thought, wow, okay, I can either be super offended.
Two ways.
Yeah, I can be super offended by that, which it is rather offensive. But hey, full points to you for your candor.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you why it's important that I'm on your board.
And also, you still did the right thing.
Absolutely.
Thankfully, you picked me and I will make a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sounds like your company is an amazing place to work and you're making it even more so for women. So if you had to describe the culture at ADGO, what would you say to people listening who say, that sounds like an amazing CEO, I want to come work for her?
So funny enough, we always, we'll have people who come and work for us from very large multinationals and we have tried to put that into a soundbite. What is it about ADGA that is different?
Mm-hmm.
But inevitably, people always say there's something different about here. There's just a different feeling to this place. I think it's the fact that we're still, even though 700 sounds like a large number, we have a lot of people work offsite at client sites. We still really touch base. I think one of my key contributors as a CEO to this company is I make a point of trying to touch base with a lot of people. I have a very truly open door policy that's impacted a lot of change in the company. And, you know, we're still at that point where we're not a public company, so we're not driven by having to report to shareholders every quarter. And sometimes people are having things happen in their lives where you kind of look and say, well, they're not performing, but I know what that person is going through. So you know what? I'm going to look the other way and we're going to carry that salary.
It's a very human approach.
It's a very human approach, which I think differs from a lot of large multinationals. And certainly, if I had to account to that to a public board, I would have difficulty doing that. Mm-hmm. I can do that because at the end of the day, I need to put my head on a pillow at night and be comfortable with the person that I am and the choices that I make.
Yeah, and the company that you lead.
Yes.
Amazing. So, final question.
Yes.
What's your dream for Canada?
Oh my goodness, I could wrap it up in a soundbite and say not to become the U.S. That's probably politically incorrect, but I've put it out there now. I think not to go down the path of divisiveness. You look at what's happening and, you know, not just in the U.S., you look at what's happening right now with Brexit in the U.K. Not to go down the path of divisiveness. We have a real labor shortage in this country. Mm-hmm. The only way that we are going to get out of this is through immigration. So to keep that open door policy, to bring in talent, to, you know, to celebrate what we are, who we are as Canadians. We're a hearty lot. We're a welcoming lot. We don't take ourselves too seriously. When I look at this country, yeah, we've got a lot of natural resources. I also think, and that's probably been biased by my experience in this industry, where you see that a lot of the work that has to be done on the defense side, we just don't have what we call KICs, the key industrial capabilities. So we need to import those from large multinationals. And then you find yourself looking at the landscape in defense and saying, interesting that, you know, a lot of our IP resides in other countries. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to do, you know, if we have, I think, a shortcoming as a country, I think we need to do more to support our own Canadian industry, to develop our own talent to protect that industry. Yeah, I mean, I'm shamelessly, proudly Canadian. I think what we've got going, I think what we're doing right now with the focus on gender balance, mm-hmm. Is also a huge plus for Canada. It puts us in a different light. And, you know, it doesn't mean we don't have our challenges as we've seen lately and we don't have our ghosts in the closet. But you see democracy exercising itself as well when we go through these things. And that's a beautiful thing.
Fran Gagnon, you're leaving us very inspired. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the Fearless Women podcast. And I hope you'll come back.
What an opportunity. Thank you so much. It was painless.
So, Fran Gagnon, CEO of ADCA, you know her as a champion of women's leadership in Canada, but she also is running a world-class technology, defense, security, and enterprise computing company. Thank you so much for spending the hour with us.
Thank you. It's been a delight.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or in your favorite app, and follow us on Instagram at Fearless Women Podcast. Thank you to BDC, the bank devoted exclusively to entrepreneurs, for your support of the Fearless Women Podcast. We love smart companies that want to amplify women's voices. For more information, go to bdc.ca/women.